are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Everyone, I need care. At least I admit it. I didn't say I need to be admitted. I said at least I admit it. Okay. Good to see you all here. Children, you are now released to go to your Sunday school classes. And we pray that you're blessed today and encouraged today. Well, we're in our series, This is Our Community. And this is our community, isn't it? Good to hear Pastor Deborah's encouragement. Bye, sweetheart. I'll see you later. He was in my membership class, and he came and sat on my lap. And as I was teaching, he repeated everything I said. So they got to hear it at least twice. So it was really good. So, right, Raul?
Yes.
Wasn't that cool? Yeah. Okay. So good to have you here today. I want to talk to you from John chapter 21 today, verses 1 to 17. And I want to talk about extending community to others. One of the things that bothered me when I was visiting my mother's nursing home from time to time was when I would see the folks lined up neatly in the hallways with their chairs facing away from one another. There was this lifeless odor in the air because no one was engaging in meaningful relationship or conversation. And some just sat there staring straight into nothingness. No chairs turned in, no chairs turned, just outward looking, staring. No eyes connecting with each other. All the wheelchairs just lined up perfectly, but no one sharing, no one listening to somebody's heroic life testimony or story or value that they've brought to society. It reminds me of how we can arrange our bodies when we're in small groups or we're in gatherings. We may be all turned in, but it's like we're sitting in a straight chair and we're looking out and not really connecting. You see, community, just because we go to community doesn't mean we're connecting in community. And just because we're going to community doesn't mean we care about the people who are in that community. And just because we feel obligated to go to community doesn't mean you're going to be transformed in community. And so the purpose of being in community is making sure we're extending community to others within that community and then extending it outside to others who do not belong to a community. And so a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid to go to community groups because they feel it's not safe, or they may not be accepted or included, or they'd be misunderstood or not listened to. And so fear grips their heart at the very thought of being a part of community and not being accepted as an individual. And I believe we need to experience a spiritual community where people turn their chairs inward to each other and turn their hearts to connecting with one another. That's what I believe is beautiful about extending community to others. And in John 21, there's this band of friends, the disciples, and some are family. And they enjoyed the true sense of community. Despite their wide variety of differences and their spiritual ranges, they considered their relationships with one another of the most importance. And they brought the greatest joys to each other's lives. And they valued their friendships and that they had experienced 3 years with Jesus Christ, their Lord. And Jesus now had risen from the dead, and he wasn't with them the same way he had been with them for 3 years. And they had been through a real ordeal, and they were afraid that their lives were in jeopardy, just as they had seen Jesus, their teacher, their master, be crucified. They hid themselves in the upper room thinking their lives were going to be taken. So at this point in this story, they were desperate to extend community to each other. They needed each other as never before because Jesus wasn't with them any longer at this point for the day-to-day things that they were doing. And but Christ had modeled for them how to extend this community to each other. And he encouraged them to develop nurturing and lasting relationships. And that's where John chapter 21 picks up, is at that point. Let's read verses 1 to 17. And I want to talk about extending the gift of community to those who need to know they matter to God. Do you know that people need to know they matter to God? You're looking at me like I'm talking a different language. It's a basic thought, isn't it? That people need to know. Oh, don't they know they need God? No. They do not need know that they need God. That's why God has called us to tell them that they need God. And not only that they need God, they truly matter to God. They're significant. They're important. And that's why Jesus is actually having this encounter in chapter 21. Read with me, please. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. And when they did, they were able to haul the net in because of the large, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Then, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the fish, the net, ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? I wouldn't have either. They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Extend the gift of community to those who need to know they matter to God. And I want to share with you how Jesus provides some hints here in these verses of how we can extend this gift of community to other people. So the first thing that I see here, it's a real helpful hint, and it's in the first three verses. And it's something we probably wouldn't think about when you look at the layout of this scripture. But first of all, we're called to respect each person's differences. Respect each person's differences. And we see this group of disciples. They're grieving the loss of the Savior. They've been left alone without him. And Peter, the big guy, who has all the influence among them, he just says, listen here, guys, I don't know, you know, let's sit around here another day. Let's get up and do something with our lives. I'm going fishing. And they're all like, we're coming too. And it's not because they all want to go fishing. They had nothing better to do. And so they all go fishing together. And so Peter, who's the influencer, Peter, who's the more, he's the impulsive one. He's the one who wants to get things done. And so he's there. And even when he hears Jesus' voice, he has courage. He knows that voice. And so he jumps right in to the water and he starts swimming ashore. And the other guys are like, yo, what about us? We got to pull this all in? He doesn't care. He wants to go to Jesus. Why? He had just denied him 3 times. He knew he had something to make right. And so then there's not only him, it says there's Thomas of Didymus. And Thomas was what people called doubting Thomas. He was the skeptical one. And in the chapter previous to this, Jesus had come. He wasn't there. They told him that Jesus had risen from the dead. They had actually seen him. And he's like, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Jesus shows back up on the scene and he doesn't even announce he's coming. He walks right through the door. And Thomas is there and Jesus is like, okay, here's my wounds. Put your hand in my side. And Thomas like, I believe. And Jesus like, well, you know, you're blessed because you believe, but more blessed is the person who has not yet seen and believes. Right? So you have, here's Thomas listening to this voice across, throw it in on the right side of the boat. He wasn't all there. He didn't throw it in. He wasn't the one who initiated that. Then there's Nathanael. And Nathanael had no guile in him. And he was a man of integrity. And he's quiet in the scene. And then there's James. James is the son of Zebedee. He's really a lucrative businessman. He's aggressive. And he's a fisherman. And he's friends with Peter and Andrew. And his brother is there, John. John is the more contemplative one. John's the one who wrote the Gospel of John. And John is there. And he identifies... No, he identifies a voice, but he realizes the miracle, right? He's like, that's got to be the Lord. I mean, wow, look at what we've been out here all night. Come on, that is the Lord. This is a miracle. Peter, that is Jesus, you know. And so we have John here, and they're cousins of Jesus. They know Jesus. They've hung out with Jesus. They're his cousins. And so they're here, and all these different types of personalities have gathered together after the resurrection and after the various failures that they had in Gethsemane and the failure of Peter, and then Peter trying to outrun John to the tomb to check it out, and then going out of fear and hiding themselves rather than preaching the gospel and going out after Jesus' death. They hide and lock themselves in a room. Because they're terrified for their lives. And they're all reacting differently. And I just want to encourage you that when people come and they are experiencing life and they're experiencing situations in life and they are living their lives on an everyday basis and things are coming at them all the time. Some things unannounced, some things not predicted, some things are just happening. People come together in these communities and we wonder sometimes, man, is that person really off the wall or what? No, it's just that life has grabbed a hold of them. You hear what I'm saying? Everybody's different. And when you're pulling people together into a community group or into a church setting or into one of our seminars or workshops or other things that we do, people are different and react and respond, and they don't need our permission to behave differently. Did you hear what I just said? I like that. It doesn't mean they rebel. I'm not saying that. And it's not, I'm not saying they get to live morally unrighteously either. I'm not saying that, I'm not defining that as different. That's sin, right? But I'm saying valuing people's difference. I remember I was in ninth grade. It's the first day of school in ninth grade. And I was so excited to be out of elementary school. You know what I'm saying? And that summer, I had my first job and was working in a restaurant peeling potatoes. What a great job, you know. And so I worked hard, so I was really anticipating school, and I wanted to get all decked out. And so I got, my mother had made me for graduation this tweed suit. It was really gorgeous. And a shirt. And back then, now we're talking in the early 70s, okay? So you have to imagine this because it was pretty geeky. And so I had this big bow tie. Oh, yeah, and it was one of those velvet ones. You know what I'm saying? It was slick, okay? And so I thought, well, at school, I've got my good shoes. I'm going to dress up in this gorgeous tweed suit that my mom made and put this on with my big bow tie. And I'm going to head off into my first day of ninth grade. And so I get there, and I go to find my locker, and people are kind of looking at me like, okay, who's this winner, you know, type of thing. And my sister, she's in 12th grade, my older sister, she's the eldest of the children, and she is happening to walk down the hall, and she sees me, and she grabs me, and she says, what? Who told you to wear that? And I'm like standing there going, what? Who told you to wear that? I said, I chose to wear this. She said, you can't wear that here. I'm like, yes, I can. She said, no, you can't. No brother of mine's looking like that. And so I'm like, okay. She said, where is your locker? I said, right down there. She said, take me to your locker. So she grabbed me, and she's marching me to my locker. You know, open your locker. And I opened the locker. She says, take that stupid bow tie off right now. I took the bow tie, threw it. She said, take that jacket off. It looks ridiculous. I took the jacket off. Undo your collar. I said, I like my collar done up. She said, undo your collar. And so I undid my collar, and she said, you're going to meet me at your locker at 3:30 today, and you will never dress that way. Where are your jeans, by the way? I said, I don't like wearing jeans. I hate wearing jeans. And she said, well, where are your jeans? I said, they're at home. They're all dirty. She said, you're supposed to wear jeans to high school. And she said, where'd you get those shoes? I said, Mom bought them for me. She said, you're not wearing those. Where's your sneakers? I said, they're all filthy. Okay, she said, 3:30, meet me here. I'm taking you to Stedman's. Stedman's was a big department store in Canada. So, and you're going to get some new outfits. So then she took me and got me jeans. Two new pairs of jeans, different styles, shirts and sweaters and a pair of sneakers. And she said, when you get home, I'm going to show you how this all matches. And you're not wearing that suit again. I'm like, all right, already. And so then, so I go, the next day, I didn't even know who I was. I looked in the mirror, I'm like, wow. Ain't looking too bad there, baby. You know? And so here I am, and I'm heading off. But then at the same time in high school, disco comes in. Saturday Night Fever is out, baby. And John Travolta sets the new trend of what is hot and looking good. And so I saved all my money, and I went to this tailor and got this three-piece suit made. Sky blue, big lapels, big bell bottoms, a puff in the pocket, cool shirts and ties. And so my sister and I were entering into this competition. We were both disco dancers. And so we were entering to this competition. And I said, I know what I'm wearing. My sister's like, oh no. And my older sister didn't catch me going out the door that night. And so we go into this disco, big competition, and the lights hit up, the star ball goes, whatever they call that, goes around, and the lights are, and we get on the, and I strike my pose. I'm like, that's it, baby, I'm home. I felt like I was me again. No, listen. It was like, this is comfortable. This is what I know this. The shoes were snazzy, kind of like these ones, you know? Real snazzy, and the shirt was cool. It, you know, the puff looked really neat. It matched the shirt. I'm like, I'm finally back to what I know is comfortable for me. You hear what I'm saying? And that's the beauty of being different. And we spend so much of our time doing what other people want us to do and be. And God celebrates our difference. Again, not our sin. I'm not talking that type of difference. But our difference, our uniqueness. And so I really love this opening of these guys together fishing all night. And you can only imagine when Jesus said, you know, Jesus is talking to them and he's like, guys, put it on the other side of the boat. And Peter, yeah, really? All right. Yeah. We've been out here all night. What are you talking about? Flip it on the other side of the boat. You know, but they did it and they caught 153 fish. Amazing. But respecting each other's differences. If we're going to extend community to others, it might mean you're going to be a little uncomfortable by the person who's sitting next to you. It might mean that you might be sharing or hearing things about life that you perhaps have never experienced. And God wants you to honor and respect their differences. And people know. Can I tell you, people know when you appreciate them. People know when you love them. People know when you really, when your heart really cares about who they are, they can get it, even if you're different. You hear what I'm saying? And that's the beauty of community, is that when we embrace difference, then we come together in unity. There's something powerful about that. Jesus understood that. And he's saying, embrace each other's differences. And we look at verses 4 to 8, and another helpful hint he gives us is, he says, realize, guys, that my presence makes a difference. My presence enhances community. And that's what Jesus is. Here he is, he's on the side of the Sea of Galilee, and they're there. They're not even aware he's there. They don't even realize that's Jesus over there. And even when he speaks in an affirming way. Friends, have you caught any fish? No. And then it wasn't until the miracle took place that John says, that's the Lord. This wouldn't have happened. That's Jesus, Peter. And Peter's like, it is the Lord. And I want to encourage you that when you're enjoying community and then you're in a community that's happening and connection is happening and the presence of Jesus is there, I am telling you, life happens. Ministry happens. Transformation happens. People who have come in with burdens and cares and problems, they're lifted up and they're encouraged and they're strengthened and they're edified. And Jesus comes in on the scene and Jesus comes and he speaks into a situation, and all you are sitting there, and we're all here in this situation, and we don't have the wisdom, we don't have the insight, we don't have the answers, but Jesus gives us the knowledge and the wisdom and downloads to us and gives us specific things to pray, and he tells us a specific scripture and gives us something in our heart, and we begin to minister to that person, and you watch that person transform before you because the presence of Jesus is in your midst. Amen? That's exciting, folks. He's saying, I want to make myself known to you. He says, they were so busy casting their nets and all the stuff that fishermen do. And he knew they were busy, but he said, no, I'm going to catch them. I'm going to catch them in the moment. I'm going to catch them doing what they regularly do. That's what Jesus does in community as well. He doesn't catch you on the... He catches you when you're doing what you normally do. That's when his presence comes to you. We think it's this mystified thing out there that only the spiritually alert are actually downloaded. No. Can I tell you? First of all, if you're a born-again believer, the Spirit of God is in you. The presence of God dwells in you already. And he comes to you at any time. And he's shouting from the shoreline, friend, do you have so that I can give? Isn't that awesome? That's a beauty in the power of community. And he's saying, realize that my presence will enhance your community. And here he is, he's showing, I'm personally committed to you. I am compassionate towards you. I am concerned for you where you're at. I know you're afraid. I know you're intimidated. I know your lives are threatened. But I know there's something greater for you to do today and from here on end. And I need to catch your attention. And I need you to understand that I need to be in the midst of you despite what you do in your current life. I need to be there. And so he shows up. And he extends this divine providence through the miraculous. And it catches their attention. I want you to expect that when you're in community, the miraculous can happen.
That's right.
That was a real great response. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, the miraculous can happen. Oh. Okay. Absolutely. It can happen. It will happen. And you may not even ask for it. But it can happen. Mm. That's why I love going to our renewal evenings that we're having gatherings. I love going because the whole premise of the evening is we don't come with an agenda. What we do is we come together and whoever shows up, we begin to seek the Lord. It can be a time of worship. It can be a time of just worshiping. It can be a time of silence. It can be a time of the scriptures. It can be a time where people are sharing testimonies. It can be something, somebody came with something on their heart. It could, all these things have just like pop out. And then we're trying to obediently hear what God's doing in the moment. And then there's body ministry and people are taking care of each other. I don't have all the ministry to give to people. I don't have all the wisdom and the knowledge. So everybody's getting up and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's good. And then you watch God tie it all together and that person's sitting there going, boom, 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 boom. And they're getting, Jesus is ministering to them. And they're sitting and they're receiving. And I'm like, this is exciting. Why? Not because we're doing it, because Jesus has chosen to do it through us. That's the beauty of community, is his presence. Mm. It says, this quote from the book, Becoming a True Spiritual Community. It's a time to build a church, a community of people who take refuge in God and encourage each other never flee to another source of help. A community of folks who know the only way to live in this world is to focus on the spiritual life, our life with God and others. And that's what he's trying to accomplish with the disciples at this moment. And so he's really encouraging them to pull that net in and come to the shoreline. Now, when you read verses 9 to 14, you see that Jesus is giving us another helpful hint of how to extend community to one another. I want you to read it with me from verse 9. When they landed, what does it say? Okay, so you, listen, it means you gotta go to community. You hear what I'm saying? Don't just talk about community. Don't just dream about community. Don't just think it's a spiritual label for something that people do. No, 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 no. It says they landed into community. That's what they were doing. They landed and they saw what? A fire burning of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. I wonder who counted those. Somebody wasn't happy with just a lot of fish. We gotta count all this. We gotta know so we can brag about this miracle. Can't be a charismatic service unless we know how many are in there. You know what I mean? But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Right? And so you look at those verses and you see here that Jesus is saying, recapture the significance of participating in community. So here they are, they're doing community out in the boat together. They hear Jesus calling them. They respond to his command, go and throw the net on the other side of the boat. They do that out of their obedience. They're blessed beyond blessed. They start pulling it aside. Peter dives into Galilee, and starts swimming to Jesus. And then they are all pulling this whole large group of fish to the shore, and then they get out of the boat, and then they see this. Jesus has created this moment, and he's saying, "I want to recapture something with you here." I want you all to participate together here. I know you're all different. I know you all have been through a difficult week. It's been difficult. But we're going to settle down here. We're going to refocus you. We're going to come together. The fire's already built. And it says that there were fish already on the fire. Now, why would he ask them to pull in and get some more fish if he already had some? You see, in community, he wants us all to bring something to the community. And so they pull that net in. Peter goes in and gets some more fish. And probably says, Jesus, there's 150 large fish. He says, just a few, Peter. Settle down. Just bring a few. And they all sit down there. And they begin to eat together. And they recapture the significance of being together. And he specifically requests them to sit down and enjoy this time together. And in real community, Larry Crabb says, in real community, people know each other. They relate in ways only God's Spirit makes possible. You see, they were broken. They were hurting. They're discouraged. They're disillusioned. Yes, he's risen from the dead, but they don't have him anymore. He's been out ministering other places. And this is the third time that they've seen him since the resurrection. And he's about to leave them forever. They know it. He told them so. So he's getting them ready. And so he's like, I need you right now in this moment to be with me, to reconnect with me. I need you to know that I'm committed to you, that I'm going to do supernatural things in and through and around you all the time from here on in. This here is a model of what I want you to do, and I want you to extend what I'm giving you today and give it to other people because they need to encounter who I am and what I can do in their lives. I'm modeling that for you. When you are extending community to others, we need to have this servant attitude that Jesus had. And he met their needs. He said, come and have breakfast with me. He knew they were hungry. They had been out all night. And that's the beauty of community is when you get together and you're sensitive like that, you will hear God say things and God will have you bring things to community groups or anytime you're getting together with a group of friends, he'll say, do this, do that. And you do it and you watch the response on that person's face and you're like, that is so cool. I got to do that. And God's like, that's because you listened to me. That's because you obeyed me. That's because you were prepared. That's because you were thinking of others rather than yourself. That's because you wanted to make a difference in somebody's life. And Jesus is like, anybody who has that attitude, I can use that. I can use that person anywhere, anytime. And so that is so amazing that we can do that for other people. Let's look at verses 15 to 17, I really want to take time with this last hint that he gives us about how we can extend community to others. And so here we are in verse 15. They finished eating. They've enjoyed the fish. I'm not sure if they enjoyed Jesus' fish more or the ones they caught. I wonder. He probably actually had his dunked in, you know, something and it was breaded and it was out there really nice. You know what I'm saying? I bet it was crispy like Arthur Treacher's or something. But here we are in verse 15. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, well, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, look at me. Do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. When I look at those three verses, I'm just like, wow. What I love about you, Lord, about how you model community, is not only do you ask us to respect and honor each other's differences, and not only do you create this place where we belong, but you reestablish people who are hopeless and broken. Peter is broken. He denied Jesus. And he knows. Jesus had prophetically told him he would do that. And Peter said, I won't do that. Yes, you will. Before the crow calls, you're going to actually deny me 3 times. And Jesus' resurrection celebrates a new birth of eternal life that illuminates this light of hope, which is perpetually shines upon any soul that reconciles itself to God. And so Jesus is here, and he has to really get him to reestablish his relationship with him, because he knows that after he ascends into heaven, he's responsible for what's about to take place. And he needs him in a good place, and he needs to know for sure, Peter, do you really love me? Now, the incredible thing is here, he doesn't say, Peter, do you love me? Now, Peter was the name that Jesus gave him. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Right? And he doesn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon, son of John. Interesting that he does it 3 times. And that means, in his culture, that means that is a respectful way of identifying a person and what a person represents. Not what you've done, not where you've come from, but that name is a name of respect and honor. And so what he's saying is, I'm honoring you for the man you are today. That's powerful. And so he says it 3 times to remind him that when you come to community, it's not who you were, it's not what you've done, it's who I see you to be and what you're becoming and what you're going to do for me. And he's, out of respect, I am calling you into this right relationship with me now. I want you to get it right, get your heart right, get your spirit right, because once I'm gone, I've got to trust that you're capable of doing what I'm asking you to do. And God is trusting you that when you're reaching out of community and you're extending community to others, that you're going to give them that same respect and you're going to give them that same opportunity, that Jesus isn't going to look at them as a sinner, though they are, but he's going to look at them through the eyes of the potential he put in them and through the image in which they were created. And though they're not walking in that image today, he knows it's in them. Just as he looked at you and I, and he didn't look, once we came to him and we repented, he looked at us and he called us child of God, son or daughter of Jesus Christ, right? And we sometimes treat people that we bring into community as, well, wait till you meet this person. And that's loaded, by the way, a lot of times. It's like, what do you mean this person? Just wait and see. And you know what? I was one of those persons. Just wait until you meet them. Persons. I know what that feels like. Been there. Been treated that way. And so when God got a hold of my heart and Jesus came into my life, I knew who I was meant to become. He spoke by that whole transformation of this wicked heart I had. It was transformed, and I had the scales fall off my eyes, and I was like, okay, life is going to be different. Didn't know how that was going to look. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to give that same grace. Just as Jesus gave that grace to Peter, we need to give that to people who come into our community, into this community and into our community groups. Or if we're in other forms of community, then that's where you have that mindset. And so Jesus is so wonderful in how he models that. And he reestablishes his call. He restores his broken heart. And Jesus wants Peter to assure him, I'm going to feed and take care of your lambs and your sheep, and I'm going to love you them all at the same time. And he's looking at you today, and he's not thinking of who you were before. He's looking at you as he looked at Peter, and he's saying, Simon, son of John. He's looking at you, Corwin. He's saying, Corwin Marsh, bada bing, bada boom. Charisse Paris. Bada bing, bada boom. Robert Lewis. Bada bing, bada boom. That's what he's looking at. When he sees you, he sees where you're going, how community is going to affect you, and what you're going to bring into the community he sends you. It's powerful. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the word of the Lord that's come to us today. And we thank you, Lord, that you're encouraging us to extend this gift of community to those who need to know that they matter to God. Lord, we pray that in our community, in this community, and in our neighborhoods, and in our work environments, and in those extracurricular activities that we do, that, Lord, we will be people who extend community to others. Lord, that we will be willing to respect, we'll be willing to realize that we need the presence of God, and that we'll recapture the importance of every person participating in community. And Lord, that we will reestablish those who are hopeless and broken and need to know they've been forgiven by Jesus Christ, and that they can have a fresh start in their lives with Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, would you send us on a mission this week to extend community to others? Lord, speak to us about when we're in community, how we can actually bring the presence of Jesus to others. Lord, let us be people who carry the essence of hope and, Father, words of life, words of reconciliation, words of forgiveness. And I just have a sense, Lord, that even in this place today, there are those who need to even reach out of their hurt and forgive those who've wounded them. There are those who need to even have relationships reconciled, even in this body. And I pray that you would do that in this community. Lord, we thank you that you're a God of miracles, that you're speaking all the time to us. Throw the net on the other side of the boat. Lord, give us the courage to trust. Give us the courage to believe that you're the God of the miraculous within this community, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to open up the altar. We're going to have the prayer team come forward, the pastoral staff and spouses. Do not leave without being encouraged, without being prayed for, and being uplifted in the Lord. Remember, you're the one who brings the gift of extending community to others. Have a great week, and God bless.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.